All righty. Remind you that this is end of the month night tonight. So if you have money you're going to give to a missionary or something, if you could come in and drop it off real quickly in the office right after, that'd be good so we can get all that done. Let's turn to Proverbs 27 and Proverbs 17. Proverbs 27 and Proverbs 17. Proverbs 27, 21. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Then Proverbs 17, 3. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Lord, thank you tonight for a chance to be here once again. Glad for some things that have happened here. Good to hear testimonies of the word of the gospel having returned to let us at least hear of some fruit that's been born. I pray, Father, you'll help those folks that were able to testify that. I also pray for all the many tracts that went out that we've heard nothing about, because it's not possible that we should, I suppose. We hope to see a fruit on the other side for that. Lord, that goes for not just the state fair, but of course for all the times in visitation, all the tracts that are dropped in businesses and bathrooms and such. I pray, Father, you'd bless the Word of God that we've labored to put out all this time, including the stuff on the sign, Father, all the time. And so we pray for that, but we ask you to now bless tonight. And again, we pray you'd prosper our Christian lives for what we hear, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Proverbs 27, 21 is where we start, and we'll go see the other one here in a little bit. But Proverbs 27, 21, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. I was reading Proverbs 27 on August 27th, and the Lord kind of rang my bell on that again. I'd preached a sermon sometime back about it, and kind of had some gaps further filled in, so I'm going to retouch some of this, if you even remember that one. Some of you probably don't, which is fine. But this touches on something we covered here a little while back in Hosea. I'm going to read you a verse. Hosea 12:10 is the verse. Now, I'll remind you where it says in Hosea 12:10, I have also spoken by the prophets, I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. God has always taught things by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. God teaches by similitude. Sometimes that works out to be a parable. Sometimes that works out to be an allegory. But it's God saying, this is like this, and this is like this. Stop and think how you would look at your Bible if you had never opened it to see all the things that, for instance, just for instance, Matthew 13 opens up. I mean, if you didn't know how the Lord, what the Lord, the connections the Lord made out of Matthew 13, for instance, you wouldn't know that the thorns are the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. You wouldn't know that the fowls are the devil and his minions. You wouldn't know that the seed is the Word of God. You wouldn't know that the field is the world. You wouldn't know what tares are. You wouldn't know an awful lot of things about what an awful lot of things are. Think about how the Lord says in Psalm 1 that a man is like a tree planted by rivers of water. Well, if you didn't know that, there would be some passages in the Bible that were closed to you. And that's the point. The point really is that God has, you know, we now take for granted the things that we see. We know that seed is the Word of God. We know the field's the world. We know the fowls are many times the devil. We know a lot of things like that because God says, this is like this, and this relates to this. It's like that. Well, this passage is like that. Verse 21. As the fining pot for silver, and as the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. The fining pot is to purify silver, right? That's what it's for. A furnace is to purify gold. Now, we're not talking about a gas furnace that heats your house. We're talking about a special type of furnace that heats gold and gets the dross out by boiling it, right? Well, and the idea here is that the idea, plainly, is that you want the purest possible gold and silver that you can get. Now, the way this relates to us is this means, one more time, that getting saved is just the first step. It's not the least of it, but getting saved is really just the first step. And there's an awful lot of stuff that you can miss after you're saved. And if you miss lessons like this, I'm not even sure where you're at. We are beset by trials and troubles, by cares, concerns, frustrations. I was sitting trying to do end of the month stuff tonight at 5:30, knowing that I needed to leave, or 4:30, knowing that I needed to leave in just a few minutes. And so I got in a hurry, and things didn't go well. But frustrations and obstacles and entanglements and stuff like that, I mean, all the white noise that you hear, all the stuff that hovers in the background that weighs on your mind and all that kind of stuff. And so we say, I mean, sicknesses, stuff like that. And we say, oh God, why, oh why are you doing this to me? Why, oh why are you allowing me to go through this? Why, what am I supposed to get out of this? Well, I want you to take another look at the fining pot tonight. This is called Revisiting the Fining Pot. It says there in verse 21, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Okay, so we're going to take a fresh look at some stuff here. For instance, how about a fresh look at praise? The fining pot for silver, the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Well, that man relates to something in that verse. That man is the fining pot and the furnace. And the praise is the gold and the silver. So how about a fresh look at praise? That silver comes from the pot and that gold comes from the furnace. So praise comes from the man. The reason there is a furnace is for the gold. The reason there is a fining pot is for the silver. The reason there is a man is because of the praise. The man is a praise cooker. If you look at the verse, that's basically what it says. That pot, or rather that praise, is equated to gold and silver. Now, somebody mentioned recently Brother Gipps' book, For His Pleasure. And it's a fairly unique book among Christian writings because what it says is the Christian life is not about winning souls. And it's not about how big a work you build. And it's not about all you accomplish. That really what the Christian life is about is giving God pleasure. Okay, it's about you glorifying it. It's about God taking pleasure in you, not because you're such a great guy and that naturally He would take pleasure in me. But it's about, essentially it's about you glorifying God and giving Him pleasure by your words and actions. Let me take you to one verse here, stay in Proverbs 27, but go with me to Psalm 50 real quick. And this kind of sums up, you know, what I'm trying to say with this. I'm taking a fresh look at praise because as a fining pot for silver and as the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Ladies and gentlemen, that praise is what God is after. Look in Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. That praise in that verse in Proverbs 27, 21 is saying that praise to God equals gold and silver. That's a remarkable statement that praise to God would be as precious as, or more precious than gold and silver is to men down here. That's worth thinking about. I actually checked yesterday on 8/30/2014. 24 karat gold sold for $1,287.00 per ounce. $1,287 an ounce for 24 karat gold. If you went down to 6 karat, of course, they have gradations, 24, 22, 20, 18, 16. Of course, I know that because I know so much about gold. But I then went all the way down to 6 karat gold, which is not very pure, and that sold for $320 an ounce. By that, $320 an ounce. Now, so as it gets purer, it gets more precious. So think about that. As a finding pot for silver, as a furnace for gold, so as a man to his praise. You go through stuff, and the purer your praise gets, the more precious it is to God. So why are you going through something? You know, there's another little aspect to this. In 1999, gold sold for $290 an ounce. That is $290. Now, that's 24 karat. In 2014, yesterday, it was selling for $1,287 an ounce, 24 karat. Basically, understanding that there are, of course, fluctuations and stuff, and, of course, I know all about that, too, but don't want to bore you with it. There are fluctuations in the market, I understand, and there have been a few ups and downs, but for the most part, gold has never been worth nothing. And for the most part, gold continues to rise in value as time progresses. So knowing that we are in the latter days, and knowing that God knows that we're in the latter days, I wonder what it means to the Lord that, you know, our praise should continue at a high level as we go deeper and deeper into darker and darker times where you have more and more troubles and you get older and older and crankier and crankier. How much more it must mean to God that your praise should be as it should be. Now, I'm saying you need to take a fresh look at praise here because as the finding pot for silver and as the furnace is made for the gold, so is the man to his praise. That man is made to praise God. Now, I've talked about gold. Silver is about $21 an ounce, so it's a lot less valuable, but you all know that gold represents deity in the Word of God. You know that silver represents redemption in the Word of God. Well, deity is also connected to godliness. So once again, I'm asking you to stop and consider what the Lord might be interested in with this. If a man indeed is a praise cooker, what the Lord is interested in, as you go through stuff, as time progresses on, as you go through more stuff, and presumably you don't become embittered and resentful about things that have happened, that your praise continues to get purified more and more as it cooks more and more in this body. But as we go deeper and deeper into the latter days, what that might mean. You need to take a new look at praise. Much of God's purpose for us, what God is doing, God's will for my life, all those things may very well be centered on praise as much as anything else. For as the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, you know what you're for? You're for praise. Look in your Bibles in Hebrews 13, again, keeping a finger in Proverbs. Hebrews 13. Do you ever get to a point and spot where going through something, maybe you've gone through it for a while, and you go, I wonder what the Lord wants from me. Yeah, I wonder. And it may be more than one thing. I readily accept that. We'll talk about some of that in a minute. But as the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, I mean, that's what those two appliances are made for. What's a man made for? To praise God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But the sacrifice of praise to God. We know that we are a spiritual priesthood. We know that we're called to offer spiritual sacrifices. And one of the spiritual sacrifices is praise. You now know that as the fining pot is for silver and as the furnace is for gold, so is a man to his praise. So take another look at praise. And then in 27:21 of Proverbs, take another look at that man. I've kind of covered it, I suppose, but as the fining pot for silver, as the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. How about another look at man? Hebrews 2 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Right? Now, Job says it a little different. There's a couple of different versions of it, but Job says it a little bit different, and I'm going to go to Job 7:17. You don't have to go with me if you don't want to. But he says, "What is man that thou shouldst magnify him, that thou shouldst set thine heart upon him?" Now, if that's true, God sets... I can't help it, once in a while, a promising visitor comes to church, and I can't help but set my heart on maybe they'll come and get in and get on board. And a lot of times I'm disappointed, of course. But think about the idea of God setting His heart on you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou should set your God should set His heart on him? Well, we know some answers to that. I mean, first of all, a saved man is a child of God. God would set His mind, His heart on His child. He's a child of God. He's a son of God. He's a steward of God. He takes care of God's stuff, so God's going to be interested in him. He's a servant. He's a soldier. He's an ambassador. He's a friend. And collectively, anyway, saved mankind is a bride. So, okay, there are some answers for why God would set His mind and heart on man. But Proverbs 27:21, as the fining pot for silver, as the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Man is set on this earth as far as his purpose being here. His purpose is being a praise cooker. Man is set here as an appliance to cook God's praise and to purify that praise so that by the time it's over, by the grace of God, maybe it's somewhere close to 24 carats, you know. But another look at man. That pot exists to purify silver. The furnace exists to purify gold. A man exists to have high self-esteem. A man exists to be happy, to enjoy life, and to go forth and prosper. That's way beyond some of you, I'm sure. I wasn't sure I could do that, actually, but... No, sir. A man is here for his praise. Now, maybe you thought the Lord had a much more in store for you, and He probably does have things in store for you, but if it comes out where you're doing something for Him, but you ain't praising Him, look, you're not a refrigerator. You're a praise cooker. That's what a man's for. He's to praise God. That's what man is for. That puts a whole different perspective on that old philosophical question is of what, oh, what are we here for? I just can't understand why I'm here. Well, I understand why you're here. Now, if you're not saved, you got a problem, right? If you are saved, and you're living for you, you've still got a problem. If you are saved and you're trying to serve God, but somehow in that service, you know, the praise is kind of sloughed under the corner. The praise never bubbles out and purifies. Then you've still got a problem. Yeah, if man is put here to praise God as far as his base purpose, his basic rudimentary purpose for being here, I wonder how the Lord feels about it when man gets all up in the air and spends page after page, perhaps Facebook pages, perhaps tweet pages, perhaps blog pages, glorifying Hollywood socialites, are glorifying professional athletes, are glorifying the latest political hack to rise to the top of the pile. I wonder how the Lord feels about that. You're called, if you're saved, to glorify Him. Now, that means that what you're here for is not just about being His son whom He loves and chastens. It's not just about, you should have concern about if the Lord's chastening you, what lesson are you supposed to learn and what are you to draw from the chastening? Okay? It's beyond the Lord having this hidden, mysterious agenda for you, and it's your lifelong job to go find the will of God for your life. Okay? Sometimes it seems like that's all folks are interested in. What it means is that some of that stuff, you may be chasing the wrong turkey. Because the truth of the matter is, a lot of the stuff that you go through may be absolutely nothing more than God cooking the dross off your praise. Now, I have to say that I am not the most bubbly, effervescent, ebullient person in the world where I just bubble over with praise. I just don't tend to bubble at all. But I have to say, I look at this thing and, you know, you go through stuff and you go, why, oh, why, God, what do you want from me? Well, sometimes it may be nothing more complicated than He just wants your praise. So you've taken another look at a praise. You've taken another look at man. Let's go back to Proverbs 17 and look at this one. Now, as a finding pot for silver and as the furnace for gold, so is a man for his praise. That's what a man is for. But this says something a little different. The finding pot, verse 3, 17:3, is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. So I think you should take another look at trials. One of the things the Lord does, verse 3, but the Lord trieth the hearts. One of the things the Lord does is tries the hearts. Now, He, you know, knows when the goats of the rock bring forth, and He feeds the birds and counts them when they fall and knows how many hairs you left on your pillow last night. He does all those things. And lots of other more magnifical things as well. But one of the things that He does is He trieth the hearts. Bottom line is the trial, then, is the fire under the pot. And the praise is the gold in the pot. And the pot is heated by the trial. And you be the pot. That's what the trials are. The trial is the furnace. The trial, rather, is the fire underneath the furnace. The trial is the fire underneath the pot. Your trials, and I think that you should consider, the trials are not always God's judgment on you doing wrong. when we get knocked upside the head with something, our natural instinct, and maybe in spiritual, and I'm not saying it's wrong to think it, oh, what did I do wrong? Well, I believe you should consider what you did wrong, because maybe you did something wrong and maybe this is chastisement. Right? Is that reasonable? I'm not called to necessarily judge that in you. You are called to judge it in yourself and figure out if that's what it's about. Your trials are not always about punishments. Your trials are not always about judgments. Your trials are not always about chastising. Your trials are not always about course correction. Sometimes you're in the center of the will of God and you still get knocked upside the head with something. You go, where'd I go wrong? Well, maybe you didn't. Maybe you're right on the center line of exactly where you're supposed to be. Because the brutal fact of the matter is that if this verse is right and Proverbs 27 is right, the finding pot is for silver, the furnace is for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts, and that trial is the fire under your pot. And what is supposed to come out of the pot is praise. You are a praise cooker. How you doing? Sometimes I'm not sure how I am. Now, when I got thinking about this, and one of the things that troubles me a little bit about this praise thing is everybody here knows that there are different levels of trials for people in the Christian life. I don't consider myself to be in the center of the worst battle in the world all the time, and yet I've had people say, oh, Pastor, oh, I would hate to have your job. I just don't know if I could pastor because it would be so hard dealing with people and all this kind of stuff. Well, okay, I appreciate that. I've had people say, oh, Pastor, I can't believe you had a stroke. I just don't know how you lived through that. Well, God is good. There's a lot of grace, and it wasn't that horrific. And what I'm thinking about is how I just don't know how I would handle what Brother Gip goes through, you know. And so I got thinking, well, I'm not trying to set him or anybody else up that's going through something a lot more than me, but I got thinking, well, you know, maybe it's like this. If I'm trying to learn to juggle and I have two balls and I haven't even learned to handle them yet, so I'm learning to do this, you know. And then I walk up and there's this juggler that's got six things in the air, including two chainsaws and a cat. And he's successfully juggling six things. And I go, whoa, I'll never be able to do that. Well, wait a minute. He's been juggling cats and chainsaws his whole life. And he's up to six, right? He's at a different level than me. So my point, I guess, is that your tendency will be to look at, you know, Brother Gip or Brother Kehoe or somebody that's really, 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 you know, somebody that's lost a child, somebody that's gone through something horrific and go, well, my trials don't even count compared to theirs. No, that's not true. It's not true. Because Gip didn't start out with six cats and three chainsaws. Okay? Gip started out with small stuff and the Lord has allowed him to go through these things through the years. And one thing I can say about this, Gip's praise cooks off at a pretty pure rate. I've spent a lot of time around him. I've never heard him complain. I have never heard him gripe or moan. You know, he'll tell me frankly, but as far as woe is me, I have never heard it. Now, what I'm saying with that is just to say that just because you're not going through something horrific doesn't mean the Lord hasn't given you your trials. And it doesn't mean that there's no fire under your pot. And it doesn't mean that your praise should be discounted because your praise can't possibly be as pure as Brother Gibbs or Brother Kehoe's or whatever. You know what I'm saying? How about another look at trials? How about another couple things real quick? Look in Proverbs 17, verse 3. The finding pot is for silver, the furnace for gold. But the Lord trieth the hearts. How about a review of the heart? It doesn't say in that verse that the Lord trieth the tongue. It doesn't say that he trieth the mouth. Now, I don't question that the Lord... I mean, every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. I know that, okay? But in the context of the verse, it doesn't say that the Lord trieth the tongue, that the Lord trieth the mouth. After you went through something, as you went through something, I know what you said. But what were you really thinking? You know, it's no secret that we sometimes think things on our beds a lot different than it comes out in church when it comes time to give a testimony. Right? I mean, the Lord trieth the hearts. I don't question that the Lord trieth the tongue. I'm not questioning that the Lord tries words. I am saying, though, what you say and what's going on in your heart are sometimes different things. Now then, I have one last thing to point out. I was going to quit with this sermon at this point, but no, not me. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27:21. There's one other thing. I may be out of line in putting this together, because this is not still a fining pot in a furnace. But in verse 21 of Proverbs 27, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. And then immediately goes into this, though thou shouldst bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Now I know, okay, that's not a fining pot. That's not a furnace. But it is a fool being tried. Now, the mortar is a flat, hollowed out rock. Okay, it's a concave rock, like a shallow bowl. You pour grain in there, you take a pestle. A pestle is like an old-fashioned barber's lather beater. It's like a little stick with a knob on the end of it. And you take that grain in that bowl, that shallow mortar, and you take that pestle and you grind the round edge into the grain to break down the grain. Pretty soon it's down to meal or flour. Okay? That's called braying. Okay? So that's what it means when it says, though thou shouldst bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. The fool is thrown in to the mortar with the wheat or the corn, and there in that mortar he is brayed with that pestle, and still his foolishness will not depart from him. How about revisiting the tragedy of the fool? How about the folks that you may know that, even as Christians, they just keep going round and round and round and round, and the lessons never seem to stop? Again, maybe it's a mistake to make the mortar and the pestle and all that some sort of an equivalent with, you know, the furnace and the pot, but the Lord builds the fire under the furnace and starts cooking on that fool, and the fool simply does not learn. The praise just never comes out. It's all gripes. It's all groans. It's all moans. It's all complaining. Nothing is ever learned from the trials, and there is no 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 karat gold even that comes out as praise. The guy just goes through it and goes through it and goes through it and just never seems to learn anything from it. It's just a vicious cycle. It's the tragedy of the fool. Take another look at that one. As the fining pot for silver and as the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. You are the equivalent of the fining pot, the furnace. The gold is your praise. The trial is your fire. And what really comes out of your heart is what God is after. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we may be able tonight to take another little view of some of the things that we go through and the whys and wherefores of it. I'm certainly not discounting chastisement or judgment in any of those things, Lord, but if we're saved and you made us to cook praise, then, Father, it's you that builds the fire sometime for no other reason than that we should praise thee. Lord, I pray you might help us consider these things, and may they actually wind their way into the fabric of our lives in a way that haven't before. Again, it's one thing we fully know to stand up at prayer meeting and say, well, praise the Lord, and still have things going on in the heart that are not pleasing to thee at all. I pray that we might praise you with our whole hearts, even if the words don't flow out. Father, may you know the status of our hearts. Help us in these things, Father. We are laboring for you. We're trying to get there, Lord, and it's our desire to be pleasing to you and something special. It's our desire that you should find faith on earth when you come back, and we really, really want to be in that spot. So I pray you'd help us and help somebody here tonight with what they've heard. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to stand with number 13 in hand. Number 13. Actually, maybe instead of singing, maybe I'll just have you bow your heads and let Jenny play for just a couple minutes here. Lord spoke to your heart tonight. I hope you'll consider coming. Certainly appreciate your labors. I thank you for all the effort that goes into a lot of the stuff that an awful lot of you do here. Attendance, charity, and all those things. But you're not serving me, and I'm not keeping tabs. You're serving God, and the Lord's keeping tabs. And He puts you through things that I wouldn't. He turns the fire up and lets the trials cook for a while. Interested in what comes out on top. As a finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. So we're going to try to help him if we don't have the plates out. Since he was here earlier, I'm just going to have you come into my office and dump. Yeah, go ahead and dump it. Dump it. Put your check money in the plate there on my desk, and we're going to give him whatever comes in tonight. So, all right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father,
Pray you bless one more day at the state fair as we go out to pass out tracts tomorrow, Lord. We thank you for giving us a chance to do that. Pray you might be able to use all that we do there, Lord. And as we contemplate the things of tonight, may you find our praise unto thee to be pure indeed. Lord, I don't know if mine is 24 karat or not, but I pray that you might help me to do better than I've done with my praise for thee. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, everybody. Good night.